Good morning, everyone. So glad that you're here. I want to say hi, of course, to everybody online. Our church continues to grow, so I'm glad that you're here making that commitment. Confirmation Sunday has been really, really fun. Reminder one more time, please fill out your Connect card. It really helps us stay connected. And if you're saying, hey, there's something in today's message, in today's worship, whatever that really touched you, that you said, I need to respond to that, that's a great way to actually put that on there and say, hey, please follow up with me. I got some things I need to talk about. Today, we're going to continue our Proverbs series on relationships, the wisdom of God for relationships. And we could not go through the book of Proverbs and not talk on finances, because that's huge in the book of Proverbs. It wouldn't be fair to do it if we didn't. And it does connect to our relationships. Connects to our relationship with God. It connects to our relationship with others. Because here's the thing. You're not going to be remembered for how much money you make. You are going to be remembered for how much of a giver you are. You're not going to be remembered for how much money you make. You are going to be remembered for what kind of giver you are. People even say there's givers and there's takers. And God is the great giver. And he's trying to take all of us who are takers. And you may not think you are, but what's that word you learn when you're about to? Mine. And unfortunately, I know some people who are in their 80s and 90s who that's still all they think about. Mine. It's mine. But I think God's inviting us, not forcing, inviting us into more. And this really changes our relationship with him. And it changes our relationship with others too. So we got to talk about it. Okay, we're going to talk about giving our time. We're going to talk about giving our finances. You already heard the verse, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. And I want us to hit on that idea. Because so often it's easy to say, well, here's the difference your money is making and here's what's happening. But often we forget that we need to honor God. Even if it wasn't going to make any difference, I'm going to honor him with the money that he's put under my control. Because he's my king. He's my savior. I'm going to honor him. Even if it didn't make any difference, but it does. But I'm still going to honor him. Okay, that's an important thing to keep in mind. I had a friend, I went to a Christian college, and I had a friend who was a son of missionaries, and they had been overseas, and then they moved back to America, but they never lost their missionary mentality, understanding that, hey, this is something that who we are, and this is how we live. And I remember him saying to me, there was a time where their family didn't have that much money, or as my family said, they didn't have two nickels to rub together, and so they'd have hardly any money. And yet they were still giving. And I remember one time my friend said to me, the story stuck in his head. They were little and they always had enough food to eat and everything, but they were going to the store to buy groceries and they didn't have that much money. And they ran into someone that they knew who had a need. And they sat there and the kid was, you know, my friend was probably 10 or 11. And they prayed for them and they gave them the money they had for groceries. And they didn't go into the grocery store. They turned around and went home. And I remember my friend's 10 years old, and he was going, well, Mom, what are we going to do? And she said, don't worry, you'll be fine. And they had food for the kids, but the parents didn't eat that night. And my friend remembered this. And the next day, without being asked, without being prompted, four bags of groceries showed up on their porch the next day. And the parents hadn't called anyone or asked anyone, because I asked my friend, did they do that? Because I remember thinking to my friend, I thought two things at the time. I remember thinking, number one, that is crazy. I would never do that. That's irresponsible. But here's the other thing I thought at the time. I wonder if I'll ever have faith like that. And my life since college has been this journey of, can I trust God that much? I'm not saying be unwise with money, and far from it. I'm saying, when you remember who the person is who gave you all the money, it changes how you live, changes your relationship, it changes how you want to be a giver. Today, it's about the invitation. And I hope you don't leave here feeling any guilt or any pressure, or any shame, right? But I hope that you can hear the invitation of God saying, I gave this to you and I know how to use it well. I made you to make a difference. I made you to have freedom. I made you to have a purpose, and how we spend finances make a big difference. So let's pray as we jump in. Dear Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, Everything we have is yours. That's what the Bible says. That's what David said in 1 Chronicles 29. Everything we have is yours. We're only giving back to you what you gave us. It's all yours. What could we give you that isn't already yours? But Lord, what you want most of all is our heart and our soul. And Lord, I want to pray for everyone here that they can just hear what it is you're saying. Even if they're not even a believer yet, can they hear the truth of the joy you have for us and how it impacts even our finances? Lord, we come today humbly knowing that churches have messed up, Christians have messed up, people have messed up. And Lord, may this never be a place of greed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to start by talking about time. And I think for some people, time is more sensitive than money, right? Time. And I'm not going to make this super long, but I will start with a story. I have a friend who started coming to our church, been coming to church off and on over the last few years, started coming to our church recently. He's been gone through a lot of stuff. And when he came, he was like, I'm going to be in a life group. I'm going to be on a ministry team. I'm going to be at church every week. I'm in. I'm tired of going halfway. Because I remember asking him, do you want to just kind of take it easy? He said, I'm tired of taking it easy. I've tried the wishy-washy. I need to go all in. I know what I believe. I need to live it. I need to make it happen. And I just went, okay. But I love that. I love that idea. Have anyone else besides me ever in your life tried the wishy-washy middle of the road faith? I'm just kind of halfway in, halfway out, kind of doing a little bit of Jesus Diet Coke version, like just a little bit light, right? Just a little bit of Jesus. I don't want a lot of Jesus. I don't want too much Jesus. Instead of going like, no, I'm in. I want to go for it. I want to be on fire. I love that. Okay. Here's what it says in Proverbs 11. We're going to spend the whole morning in Proverbs 11. There's a lot in that chapter. So if you got a Bible, turn there. It's on page 532 if you want to use one of the Bibles out here. Here's what it says in Proverbs 11:11. Upright citizens are good for a city and make it prosper, but the talk of the wicked tears it apart. Upright citizens are good for a city and they make it prosper. They work hard. They give their time. They give their energy. But the talk of the wicked tears it apart. Have you ever noticed that it's the people doing the least who complain the most? Have you ever noticed that? The people who are doing the least complain the most. Is it the person on the field who's complaining, or is it the fan in the stadium who's not doing anything? It's easy to know how to win the championship when you're sitting on your couch and you haven't done any of the work. Right? But the people on the field, they know how hard it is. You see what I'm saying? It's easy to complain about the church when you're not in the church. It's easy to complain about the school when you don't help in the school. It's easy to complain about the government when you're not doing any civic work. It's easy to do all those things. It's a lot harder to do the work. That's why it says the talk of people tears it down, but the goodness of people builds a city up. Okay? And I don't want to make this a big thing. I don't want to make it super hard. I just want to make it very simple. I just want to just kind of lay this out very, very simple. Jesus is our King. Serving Him is not optional. Obeying Him is not optional. It is voluntary. He's not going to fire you. Voluntary comes from a Latin word that has to do with your will. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can choose not to obey Jesus. You can choose not to follow Jesus. But because Jesus is the King, there are always consequences for disobedience. His way is the way of life. There is no other way. There's no sort of life. There's no kind of life. It's just His way. His way is life. He is our King. Not one king amongst others. He is the King. Yeah, you already know where I'm going. And I see some of you went from Jesus our King, amen, to, oh, I see where you're going. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I didn't say you were going to like it. Jesus is our King. Serving Him is freedom. Serving Him is, I'm too busy to serve. No, you're too busy. serving him is freedom. Jesus says this, Luke 17:10. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say we're our unworthy servants who've simply done our duty. Not look at me, how great I am. I served in church. Blessed. We're unworthy servants who've simply done our duty. I don't need a whole bunch of attention. I'm just going to be faithful to serve the Lord day in, day out. No attention needed. Jesus commanded me to serve in the church. I want to make sure you know that's the command. For every Christian, for every single Christian, the Bible says that God's given you a spiritual gift used to build up the body, his church. Every single Christian. So if you're a believer, you have a gift that your church family needs. Here's what it says in Ephesians 4. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. As each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Wouldn't it be great if every church was healthy and growing and full of love? Even the non-Christians of the world would love to see churches healthy and growing and full of love. How does God say that happens? When each part does its work. It's so easy for us as Christians to talk about how the world is assaulting the church. God tells us how to build the church as each part does its work. God wants every single one of us. I'm not going to sit here and shame you. I'm not going to guilt you. I'm not going to get in your face. I'm just going to say, if you're a believer and this is your church family, because for some of you it's not yet your church family. This is your church family, then you need to serve. This isn't a business, right? It's not a transaction. It's not like, how much do I owe you for that sermon? It was okay. Yeah, you know, how much is that one, right? It's not like that. It's not a movie theater, right? It's not like that. This is your heart. That's why we don't send bills at church. It's an offering. It's voluntary, which means it should go above and beyond anything you would get for live music or time together with people who love you. This is a family. But I hope when you go to your family reunion, I hope when you're at your family, you don't sit there while everyone else does the chores and you sit there and just take it in. We're a family. Everyone has chores to do. And the more we all chip in, I see some people who are really nodding. You might be the person who does all the chores in your family. So everyone chips in, and this is how God made us to work. Okay, so I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to guilt you. I'm just going to say this is the way it is. And when we do that, it actually is to set you free. It's to go, I don't just go to a church. I am part of the church. I am the church. We are the church. We build the church together. God ultimately builds the church. Why? We all do the work together. Maybe you're sitting here saying, Scott, I don't like what you're saying. I'm okay with that. My question is, do you disagree with what I'm saying? Is it in the Bible where Jesus says, I want every believer to serve in the church? If it is, then it's just between you and God. It's not about what I want. It's not even about what the church needs. Because we could get up there and do the church thing where we're like, we need this, and if we don't have it, blah, blah, blah. We could do that, but we're not going to. Because it's really not about that. Because if we just obey God, it'll take care of itself. Okay? Jesus is our king. We are a family. Here's how we do it in our church. Okay? We got these little cards, and some of you are already serving on teams. I'm not asking you to do more. We're not asking for anyone to do more if you're already serving. We got kind of four big areas. We got next gen. Our heart is for the next generation. So that's kids ministry, youth ministry. That's young adult ministry. Ways to do that. Check that off. We got services. We got Sunday morning. We got hospitality, ushers, greeters, easy stuff, setup, tear down, worship team, tech team, lots of different ways. Can you push a button? Then you could be on the tech team. You could do it. I believe in you, right? And I'm not trying to minimize anyone on the tech team because they're just amazing. They're amazing. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to walk that tightrope there, okay? We have support ministries like facilities. God is expanding our facilities. We need more people to help out and keep those things, honoring God so that our property, it's not all about the property, but we want to honor God with how we take care of what he's given us, right? We got administration help. We got prayer and care ministries, okay? The last category there is just adults, hosting a life group, opening up your home, having people there, so powerful. Men's ministry, women's ministry. And what I want to do right now is I want to just give us a minute just to think and pray. Now, there's exceptions. God always makes exceptions. If you're saying, hey, I don't even know if this is my church family yet, or I'm struggling right now, or I'm going through cancer right now. Yeah, you don't need to be serving in church. You know that there's always exceptions. But I want you just to have a time to talk to God. And if you're saying, I don't have a team, I'm ready to jump into a team. This is a time just to pray on that. And if you already have a team, stay on your team. Keep serving well. Okay? Let's take a minute and let's pray on that. We've talked about time. Now let's talk about finances. All right. And again, I want us to focus in on Jesus. Jesus. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Keep it about Jesus. Don't think about the church or me or your money or anything like that. Think about Jesus. That's what I think is so important for us as Christians, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, what it says in Hebrews. A couple big points from Proverbs. Number one is that money is a gift from God. Money is a gift from God. Okay? Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, what about the money I found in my car, found in my pants? Found, like, is that the gift from God? Yes, that's a gift from God. Like, as you're doing laundry, look at that money, right? That's a gift from God. But also the money you earn is a gift from God. You know why? Because God gave you the ability to work. God gave you that ability. It's all, even when you're earning, even when you're working in, hard work is a very big thing in the book of Proverbs. Hard work's very important. And you're making that choice, and that's true. And you did earn it. But it's still a gift from God. Here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Trust in your money. Trust, and down you go. But the godly flourish like leaves in spring. Money is not evil. The Bible doesn't say that money is evil. Money's not evil. The love of money is evil. That's what the Bible says. Money's not evil. Money needs to be used well. Money has the ability to pull our hearts. Trust in your money, and down you go. Don't be unwise. Understand that money has power. It can pull your heart away from the things of God. It can weigh your soul down when your soul's trying to ascend to the Lord. Proverbs verse 18 says this, evil people get rich for the moment, but the reward of the godly will last. The reward of the godly will last. Money is a this life thing. You're not going to have to worry about it in eternity. Does that make sense? You're not going to have to worry about it in eternity. So don't mistake your true purpose. You can't take it with you. And we are people who are wired for eternity. We're made for more. There's always going to be people who don't give to God's work who are going to have more money than you. So you cannot compare yourself to other people who live in your neighborhood, or other people who work at your job. They will always have more money than you because you have chosen to be a giver. So you can't say, well, you have more than me. You have to say, no, the joy of life is what I get to give, not what I get to keep. You're not taking it with you anyway. You're not going to be remembered for what you have. You're going to be remembered for what you give. That's the purpose of life. And don't make any mistake. The Bible knows that evil people are going to have money. So even though God is the giver of gifts and money is a gift from God, yes, even evil people can have money sometimes. The Bible knows that. The Bible's not ignorant of that. That's number one. So I want you to lock that in your brain, just to start with. Money is a gift from God. You did earn it, but it was given to you. And if it was given to you, it might have been given for a purpose. Money is a gift from God. It's not evil. It has a purpose, though. Just start there. Number two, character matters more than money. Character matters more than money. Verses 1 through 4. The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. That's how they would weigh things in the marketplace, and people would cheat to get the scales tipped in their favor. Verse 2, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Arrogance. Honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. Riches won't help on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. Character matters more than money. The Lord cares about how you earn money. The Lord cares about how you spend money. The Lord cares about how you invest money. The Lord cares about how you treat your employees or your coworkers. The Lord cares about your character and your heart. Money, here's the thing. Jesus said it. The Bible teaches it over and over and over again. Don't lie about it. How you spend your money reflects your heart. You want to know your heart? Look at your bank savings. Look at how you spend your money. Look at your credit card receipt. Look at your spending on your bank account. Look at it. And I know a lot of us go, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to see what I'm spending money on. I don't want to even think about it. The Bible says if you're doing that, you're just running away from the reality. You don't even know who you really are. You don't know what your actions are even telling you about who you are. God wants to invite you to know you. He wants to invite you to be honest. He wants you to be more than just a, I need to, I have to, or I feel like it type of person. You are more than an impulsive person. You were created with a purpose. You're made to matter. And your finances always reflect your heart. Even if your heart is pressured and just doing whatever is demanded of you. It's one of the reasons that we get into so much debt. That's a character issue. There's even a Saturday Night Live skit someone sent me. And that it's a very simple skit. And it's like, how to get out of debt? And the advisor comes on and says, don't spend money that you don't have. And the people are like, that's so confusing. I don't understand this. How does that work? And it's just making fun of the fact that in our country, we're an instant, me first, if you feel like it, go for it type of people. And you have to say, God, I want to live your way of wisdom. I want to live your way. Character matters. It matters how you make money. It matters how you save money. It matters how you spend money. It matters because God cares about your heart. This is a relationship issue. You would say, well, why does God care so much about my money? Well, does your dog care about if you spend money on food? Yes. Any relationship you have involves money. You're going to have kids and it costs nothing? Friendships cost money, right? And let's not get started on marriage. That was a whole nother sermon. That was a different sermon there. But could you imagine if I said, and I've said this before, but could you imagine if I said to my wife, Hannah, I love you more than anything in the world, no more than anyone else in the world, but I'm not spending any money on you. Who would I really be loving more than anyone in the world? Myself. And that becomes very, very obvious when we come to God. Character matters more than money. I've been having conversations with people about building hope. You all know we went through COVID. We all know we've slowed down. It's taken time. We've been doing lots of work. And I've talked to one or two people who've said, Building Hope's our capital initiative where we're doing extra money. So here's our general fund giving. And then we have a Building Hope capital to actually expand. Has anyone felt like, man, we're running out of space? What's going on here? We got to actually expand our facilities. And we've been talking about that for a lot of years. And we've been giving for a lot of years. And I talked to someone recently who said, hey, I'm struggling with this a little bit. And I'm not sure if I want to keep giving. I said, well, just talk to me about it. So he shared and said, hey, I've heard of churches where they gave to a capital thing and then nothing happened. And I don't want to kind of be taken for a fool. I don't want that to happen. And he goes, I don't feel like I've seen anything. And I said, well, what about the new plans we put out? What about the patio? What about the backyard? And I started listing all the things that we've done. And he said, yeah, those things are great. I love them. They've made a difference. But I want to see the building. And I said, I do too. And I said, it's your finances. It's your call. Thank you for talking about it. I said, but here's what I want to tell you. Life is all about stories. And you have a choice in this moment, your story. Do you want to say, because I told him, the building will go up. We haven't quit and we're still working and we believe that God wants us to not try to have five services in a room that fits 110 people. We don't believe that. We're going to keep going because we have a mission to keep reaching people with God's love. So I said, you have a choice because the building's going up. And you can either say, my story was I gave faithfully for years, but then I lost hope and I stopped giving. And then the building went up. Or you can say, when it got really hard in COVID and post-COVID, I never stopped believing that this is what God wanted for our church. I said, that's your choice. But I know what my choice is. And I also know how hard we're working on this every week because I'm doing a lot of it, right? But I said, thank you for having the convo. Character matters. I think in the hardest time is where character is refined and forged the most. Okay? Third thing. So God's the giver. Character matters. And generosity grows gratitude. Generosity grows gratitude. Gratitude matters. Gratitude is a huge thing in today's world. It matters for grit. It matters for anxiety. It's a huge thing. Here's what it says in verse 24. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. People curse those who hoard their grain, but they bless the one who sells in time of need. Not when it's easy, but when it's needy. I don't want you to miss this stuff. We're in a time where it's tough. Inflation's going up. Things are hard. I get it. But this isn't like, this is how life is wired. Our world right now is looking for the givers. It's looking for the people who are generous going. It's hard right now. Who's going to step up and still be a giver? Who's going to step up and still say, it's not about me? Who's going to step up and not say, uh-oh, times are tough. Circle the wagons. Hold on to everything. That's it. We're done. Our church isn't doing that. I hope you know that. We're going for it. We're saying, God, we're in. We love you. Let's go. Let's run after the goal. This is who we are, and I love that. Here's the thing. God's goal is your freedom. And materialism traps you. Okay, so how do we grow? How can we grow in our giving? First step, give something. Just give something. That's step number one. Give something. Say, I'm not just going to be a consumer. I'm going to be a contributor. It changes your identity. You say, I don't just go to that church. I'm helping build that church. I'm giving my time. I'm giving my finances. That's my family. I'm in. That's part of my family. That's number one, is just give something. David said in 2 Samuel 24, I will not give the Lord what cost me nothing. He had a heart to say, I'm going to give. I want to be a giver. God's given me so much. He even said I had to, because someone wanted to give him land. He said, I cannot not pay for it. I have to pay for it. I will not offer the Lord what gives me nothing. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 calls the ministry of the church and people the ministry of giving and receiving. Meaning the pastor or Paul as an apostle traveling, he's giving God's word to them, and they are giving financially to support him. And he said this to the Philippians because they had such a great, they sent him money again and again and again. And he called it the ministry of giving and receiving, that we're both giving and we're both receiving. That's how the family is, that's actually how good relationships work, right? We're all giving and receiving and learning how to give well. And also, some of you struggle with this, learning how to receive well. When someone wants to bless you and give you a gift, that's part of life as well. Okay, so number one, give something. It might be $1 a week, might be $10 a week, $100. It doesn't matter. Just start by giving something. And here's the only thing I want to ask you as your pastor. Do it consistently. Don't say, well, I'll just give whatever. Actually make it, I'm going to give at least $1 a week. I'm going to give at least $10 a week. Whatever it is, find a way to do it consistently. Could be monthly, whatever. Number two is you need to grow. Grow in generosity. And I don't want you to miss this. Generosity will not naturally happen to you. You have to choose. The trajectory of your inner soul is to go towards me, not me, like you. Like, you see what I'm saying? It's going to be kind of a me first type of thing. You got to pay attention to percentages at this point. If you really want to grow in generosity, you need to know what you're giving. The Bible says, know the state of your flocks. That's Proverbs 27:23. You need to know, how much am I spending on stuff? And you need to know, how much am I giving to God's work? The average for most Christians is 2.5%. Now, the Bible nowhere in the New Testament says you have to give 10%. What the Bible says is you're supposed to give like Jesus, and we'll get to that in the next point. For most of us, that's going to be more than 10%. 10% is a first goal, but for most Christians in America, it's 2.5%. Pay attention, grow in generosity. God, how can I give more? Okay, there's even people in our church who've actually, and this is going to sound like a weird story, but who have large wealth, and they struggle with, man, it's hard to give that much money. Because they're giving faithfully. I'll tell you a story. There's someone who's starting a business many years ago, and they had a previous job, and they didn't make a ton of money, but they felt like God was calling them to go out and try this new thing. It was risky. And they said, God, I'm going to give you 10% of everything I make. No questions asked. That's it. And God, and you may think this is a great problem to have, but it was actually a problem. God just blessed the business, and it exploded. And suddenly that 10% was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they said, they called me up because they said, Scott, I'm now giving more than I was making before. And it's hard. It's hard. And I just listened. I said, what are you going to do? And they said, well, I'm going to keep honoring God. But there comes a point where the honoring gets tough because these are big, big numbers. But they made the choice to continue on because they wanted to honor God. If you go back to verse 24, which we already read, be generous and God will grow you. It's not a promise. It's not a promise as if you give, God will give you more money. But it is a proverb. And what we have found in general is when people are faithful to use the money from the giver, from the boss, and he says, this is how I want you to spend the money. When people tend to spend the money that way, God tends to give them more to spend that way. When God gives them the money and they go, no, it's for me. And God goes, well, you missed the purpose. They tend not to have, it's not a health and wealth thing, but it is a general proverb for life. Okay? Depends on the person, depends on the situation. Okay? Jesus did say, those who are faithful in little can be trusted with much. Okay? And it's more about freedom. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? It's not about God wants all your money and the church wants all your money. It's not about that. It's about God wants to actually give you money to use for your life to have purpose and meaning and calling. And you have a choice every day. Every decision is, am I going to spend it on materialism and things that don't last? Or am I going to spend it on the things of eternity that truly make a difference? That's the choice we have. And I don't just think, well, I'll do it in my heart. It wouldn't work in any other relationship, would it? Well, my dog knows I love him even though I don't give him any food. That doesn't work. There's a practical element of it. So number one, give something. Number two, grow in generosity. I think that can actually take a long time for most of us. And then there comes this third step, and this third step's the hard step, but it's the Jesus step, which is give like Jesus. Give like Jesus. Jesus said, Matthew 16, you heard earlier, if anyone wants to come after me, you must take up your cross and follow me. If you want to gain your life, you have to lose it. You don't have any money, friends. You're dead. If you're a Christian, not a single thing you own. You're dead. You're crucified. Paul said it. I have been crucified with Christ. The life I live, I don't live. Christ lives in me. What's mine? Nothing's mine. That car's not mine. It's not mine. I have to manage it, but it's not mine. I'm dead. I'm alive in Christ. I already got a foot in heaven. I'm not taking any of this stuff with me. You know what's crazy? No one has any problem ever talking about money about 4,000 to 10,000 times a day. You know why? Because that's the average of how many ads you see per day. And you know why they do that? Because we love seeing those ads. You go, I hate ads. Well, then they've studied us. They know we can handle it. And you know why we love those ads? Because in every single one of those ads, they're promising us, if you do this, your life will be better. If you do this, you'll be happier. We have no problem when the advertisers want our money. But when God says, I want to offer you the path of life, we go, whoa, 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 whoa. I just feel like God's all about money. This church, I don't know if I can come back to this church. They did a money sermon. I need to go home and watch my TV, watch those ads. Ooh, I feel way better now. Ooh. Every single day, every single one of us has a choice. Are we going to go the path of sacrifice or materialism? Jesus' path is the path of sacrifice. Not for me, not for Covenant Grove, for God. That's the choice we make as Christians. We can't keep following Jesus down the path of materialism and me first, and then wonder why we don't experience life and purpose and joy and freedom. This is the path of life. This is why I can preach on this stuff. I don't love talking about this, but you know what I love talking about? How to help you choose Jesus. That's what I love talking about. I love hearing those stories, and I am not ashamed of his word. I love that we get to be in a church that talks about this. You know what we say in our church? We are honored to sacrifice for the King. We're honored to sacrifice. We're faith-filled, prayer-led, big-thinking risk-takers. If you didn't know that, that's who we are. And we have no problem risking with our time. We have no problem risking with our finances. Our church is not about finances. You know why? It's too little. God doesn't want just your money. He wants your soul. And if he has your soul, everything else comes with it. All your stuff, all your time, all your breath, which changes how you worship. You think that breath is yours? You're dead. That's God's breath. Give it back to him in worship. All of it. Maybe you're not a believer, but if you are, Jesus is your King. And maybe today you want to say, Jesus, you want my soul? I'm in. Amen. Let's go for it. Here's what Thomas A. Kempis says. His book's called The Imitation of Christ. It's a really powerful book. It was written about 800 years ago. It's a huge international bestseller, been sold all around the world. He's speaking in the voice of Jesus, and here's what he says. What more do I ask than that you give yourself entirely to me? I care not for anything else you may give me. I seek not your gift, but you. Just as it would not be enough for you to have everything if you did not have me, so whatever you give cannot please me if you do not give yourself. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you most of all for giving us your life, your son. Lord, we love you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here. You want us to have life, flourishing life, full of freedom. God, I pray for our young people here in this room that even as they're starting off making money, that they can at an early age commit to giving to you. Help them not to overcommit into debt, God. Lord, I pray for all of us to take a step today, to take a step in growing, to take a step in serving, take a step in giving, so that we can say yes to you, so that your body can be healthy and growing and full of love. We love you, Lord. We're your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.